Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
By my co-host Katura. What's going on, Katura?
Not too much. What's going on?
Not too much. Just getting ready to do the show. And we got our other co-host on the line who I wasn't sure or not was doing the show since he decided not to take part in our weekly show meetings this week. But I'm glad he is here. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
We had a meeting. Very well, actually.
We had a
meeting. Yeah, we had a Facebook meeting to discuss what we were talking about this weekend. I don't remember Craig ever taking part.
It's because Craig's been very, extremely busy this week.
Are you still putting in a shitload of overtime?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
You know, what's funny is we're like the opposites. You're putting in a lot of overtime. And my lazy ass has barely worked because to prevent what happened last year during Christmas time at UPS, they are starting a new shift in like 2 weeks in the afternoon. So they have to hire the people for that shift, and they hired them during our shift. So basically right now in my area alone, we have 6 extra people. So
wow.
So when they have extras, they have to go by seniority and ask who if anyone would like the night off. And for some reason, I cannot keep from volunteering from going home. Even if I want to work and know I need the money, if they ask if I need to go home, my mouth answers before my brain can kick in. And I've worked maybe 2 days in 2 weeks at UPS.
Good Lord, dude.
Which is nice. It's nice for the body, you know, but it's not nice for my pocketbook, unfortunately. And
sure.
Luckily, it's only till the 15th because I do have a new car payment I need to start making. So I need to actually do some work. So, but I've enjoyed the last 2 weeks. So
nice. Well, hopefully around Christmas time I'll have some time off. So,
unfortunately, that'll be when I'm at my busiest. But
right.
Hopefully, this new shift will actually help and it won't be as bad as last year because last year was. Last year, as a whole, because usually, honestly, peak season, they say it doesn't start till Thanksgiving, basically. But honestly, it really starts around Halloween. And it wasn't bad. We had like a very easy first 2 months. And then when December kicked in, turned into hell incarnate.
Yeah, I've been putting in a ton of OT. And then Brian wants me at his place at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, which doesn't sound that bad. But when I don't get home till 11:30, and then I usually wake up by 4:30, it's a little old really fast. Tuesday is becoming my dreaded day of the week. So,
yeah.
Good thing
I mean, it should be anyway. You have to deal with Brian for fucking a couple hours in person. I mean, what's worse than that?
And you have to talk about it all.
That's true.
At least Granny isn't on that show where she can make her her anti-Chinese comments. I don't know if you guys watched the show last night.
No, not yet.
I'm surprised.
Okay,
yeah, doing Whitney's Kickstarter so he can co-host the Brian and Vinny show with Granny. You know you want to.
Those actually got filled up before he even like announced them. So, and I wouldn't even pay. I have to hang out with the dude during WrestleMania in Vegas. So it's like, why would I want to do it an extra day? I'd hang out with Whitney all day. That'd be fun.
Why would you want to pay $250 to talk to him again?
Right.
Yeah.
All great points.
But yeah. So anyway, I guess we are just doing news of the week since Kutcher wanted to do a show and decided he needed to postpone his show, and he has full creative control this week, so I have no idea. I haven't even looked at his email yet.
That's good.
So Kutcher, I guess Craig's going to read the news since he has deep, sexy voice.
I got a few news things, and then I just put up like the lineup for the new Sting DVD. I thought we could maybe run through these matches and just, you know, just talk about them a little bit if we remember any of them.
I do have a news bit that I'm sure is more important than everything that you sent in, and that is I mentioned last week at the start of the show after doing the show, Leva Bates, after doing our show, she went on to do NXT last week. Well, after doing our show, Mia Yim is now headlining the tour in China, so once again, you know, we helped the career, and, you know, that's awesome.
Okay.
You are the most, how do I say it? You take small victories and amp them up to such a degree that it's amazing.
I'm kind of sour.
You have to stay positive in this life, Craig.
That's true.
I'm kind of sour on China this week. They killed all the whores on Son of Anarchy the other night.
Speaking of television, and, you know, we don't have a whole bunch to talk about tonight anyway, because there's just not a ton of news, and probably a shorter version of the podcast this evening, but have you guys been watching Gotham?
Yes. I've watched both of
them. Goodness.
I haven't seen it yet. I've been kind of interested. I see other people talking about it. Is it good or?
Good.
It is very
really?
Good.
What exactly is it about? I guess it's about the commissioner.
It's about Jim Gordon. It starts off with the murder of the Waynes.
Okay.
So, and it's got a little bit of the child Bruce Wayne is kind of like he's developing, you know. He's kind of doing a bunch of self-destructive stuff, like burning himself and just getting ready to be Batman or something like that. But it's mostly about Jim Gordon when he started out as a detective.
Okay, so it's about Gordon and young Bruce Wayne, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll look into it.
It also chronicles, like, all the backstory on some of the villains and like the Penguin and I'm pretty sure we've seen a glimpse of the Riddler and also
Catwoman. Yeah, the guy was talking to him. He was like, I don't know, was he like some computer guy talking to him like in the first episode or something like that. We saw Poison Ivy and Lena Kyle was on there this week. And
Going back to Kutcher's Sons of Anarchy comment, wasn't that such a beautiful love story besides all the people getting killed?
Well, with A, I told you that was going to happen.
Well, actually, there was two love stories, but the Tig one is just, I don't know, it was creepy last year, but this year it's like so awesome.
I think I called that like two seasons ago that was going to happen. So. He hooked up with like a transvestite or a cross-gender or something. He's played by one of the guys on the, from the Shield. So.
Yeah, from the Shield and Justified. But also, I went back. No, no, I watched the first episodes of Agents of Shields for this year, and they had like a flashback scene to like World War II with Agent Carter. And I didn't realize that the one Chinese guy that was part of the whatever they are, Captain America's buddies, was fucking Lin from Sons of Anarchy.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would try.
That was kind of
bad to say. I can't tell another Chinese apart. I don't know who's who. I don't know who what name goes with what person.
Yeah, the last season started off kind of slow on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it got kind of silly in the middle. And then the end, it got really awesome. And this season, out of the gate, the first two episodes have been really good. And I'm looking forward to this season. I think it's going to be a good show.
Like, I watched the first few episodes last year. I guess I kind of stopped or got behind when it started to get a little silly, but I heard how awesome it was, and I just didn't have anything to watch one day, and I went on demand and just decided to watch the first one, and now I'm like, damn, I got to go back and watch all the rest of them. But the first one was actually really good with the Absorbing Man. It's cool that they seem like they're going to put in a lot more, more like super-powered characters in it, and was that Xena, the warrior princess that got killed?
It was.
I thought it was, yeah. She's getting older, man. Wow.
Yeah, that's what happens to people.
Yeah.
I watched the first few episodes last season. I think I got away from it because I've gotten to where I've watched stuff when it shows up on Netflix and stuff like that. I don't watch too much stuff as it's happening unless it's like Sons of Anarchy where I have to watch it every week. So I'm hoping they'll show up on Netflix or something.
I'm sure they will because they're going to start putting up their own Netflix Marvel shows.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's going to be a few. I think like Iron Fist is going to be one of them.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole series.
Also this weekend, Craig, Star Wars Rebels starts.
Yep, my son has it on record. I think it's already been on here, but
I had like a bunch of little like 4-minute episodes, like in between other shows that I taped.
Mm-hmm.
But to like get ready for it because they got like an hour show I think coming on like Saturday or something. It's pretty decent looking. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it should be cool.
Okay. So we've been talking about some television here for a while. Let's talk about some other television. Let's talk about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is coming up here in about, 3 weeks now?
Yep.
Okay. And currently, the plan for the main event, we're going to have John Cena versus Dean Ambrose. So expect them to escalate their feud, I guess you could say, of wanting to kill Seth Rollins. So they will face each other, and the winner will face Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell match, and the loser will face Randy Orton in a Hell in a Cell match.
See, I think that's bait and switch. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Cena and Dean will have their match, and both Randy and Rollins will get involved and cause a double disqualification, and they will turn it into a tag team Hell in a Cell match, which I think would be for the best because I just can't see them letting Dean Ambrose win the match over Cena. You know what I mean? I could see them maybe wanting to do that until the day of the show and Vince gets cold feet and changes his mind. And right now, Dean Ambrose does not need to lose to John Cena and be the secondary guy. He needs at least be equal. So I'm thinking that's what's going to end up happening. It'll be being the switch, interference, and then instead of having two Hell in a Cell, you just have the one big one with the four. which would probably make for a better match overall than having you. Like, if it was Dean and the Dean match is going to be good. The John Cena match could go either way. But put all four of them in there, I see it being really good. So that's what I think will happen with as far as the main event angle.
I'd rather see the one-on-one with Ambrose and Rollins and Hell in a Cell. They've been feuding for so long and had such a good build. I'd rather just see them. It seems like it fits in there rather than putting anybody else in there.
I would love to see that. It's just that, you know, and that could be the plan right now, but come the day of the pay-per-view, you know, Vince McMahon is going to be like, can we really let this guy beat our biggest moneymaker? So
I don't really think they have a problem with him beating John Cena, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
They've been pushing the guy, so I don't see why they wouldn't have him beat him. Maybe some chicanery wouldn't beat him, but, you know.
I don't mind the idea of having a tag team Hell in the Cell match. I'm totally fine with that. In fact, I think it would be a better match. But then, the only bad thing is they would devote more time to one of their silly undercard feuds that we don't need to see.
I want to see Rosa Mendes in like a 2 out of 3match against Cameron, maybe.
I don't even want to see Rosa Mendes naked.
Crazy now.
Jesus Christ.
You know, everyone was bitching about like so many girls matches, and the one with the Bella and Cameron and Eve was it the greatest match? But my God, is Eve not the hottest girl in WWE right now? And the cameraman from Raw deserves a raise because he kept getting shots of her bending over. It was glorious.
What I would do for the main event, I would just go with, like, Rollins against Ambrose in the Hell in a Cell match, and then I'd have I'd do a thing and have, like, Kane and Randy Orton and have them against John Cena and a mystery partner. And then the mystery partner would be Luke Harper in another cell match.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, speaking of Luke Harper, that brings us to our next story. We have an update on the future of the Wyatts. Vignettes featuring Bray Wyatt telling Luke Harper he has been set free to start the split up of the Wyatt family. Plan right now is to have Harper and Eric Rowan to team up, and Wyatt will go his separate way. And as you heard on the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday, they might be the Ascension coming in to join up with Bray Wyatt.
I don't think I like that.
Wow, I don't remember hearing about that. But I guess it could work. They're kind of making it seem like Harper's going on his own. Alone, but
yeah.
And that was Rowan. So, guys, got to kind of see how that goes. Because, I mean, it really to me comes off like they're going to make him a singles on his own. But I guess it'd be a good way to bring him in.
Nobody's
going to
feud with anybody. But it's not going to be like a, you know, where like somebody turns on somebody. It's just just break them off completely.
Yeah. And besides, you got that from Brian. When has Brian ever been right about anything?
When he reads it in the Observer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
actually,
do you guys read the Figure Four?
Yes, it takes 3 minutes out of my day.
Okay. Did you read the article that Bix posted as a news that, Brock was going to feud with Big Show because somebody sent him a joking email and he didn't verify it and posted that on the fucking Figure Four Weekly?
I thought that sounded weird.
The fuck, does Bix doesn't fucking cross-reference anything, especially shit that sounds stupid? All he has to do is fucking email Dave.
I don't know.
I think it's funny Brian doesn't even write his own newsletter anymore.
No. That's what happens when you get successful. You get to farm everything out.
And then what really sucks about it is when Shemp can't do Wrestling Observer Live because Biggs does his newsletter. I guess he feels obligated and has had Biggs co-hosting a few Wrestling Observer Lives. And my God, Biggs sucks on radio. Those were like the worst. I couldn't even listen to him. Oh. So.
And you know, the show was still on the air, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, let Biggs write the newsletter. That's fine. But don't put him on the fucking radio. He fucking sucks him in his dramatic pauses.
Well, there's a couple of folks that do radio that quite honestly shouldn't be. Maybe even myself included.
I know I'm one of them. I ain't gonna lie.
I wouldn't say you. It's for your voice.
But I don't care. I don't try to get better. That's the thing. So I don't feel bad about it. Somebody wants to tell me I suck, but like I don't know that. Fuck off. I don't care. I'm not trying to gain anything from this. I'm having fun. So, whatever. Not waiting for the call from Sirius Satellite Radio or anything like that.
That's true.
To indicate the show.
Going back to the Wyatts for just a moment, I fear for Eric Rowan if they split up the Wyatts.
Better than I do Bray Wyatt. I mean, he's a better worker.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's by far a better worker than the other two. He's a little different though because he's such a big dude, but he's out there doing fucking topes and suit and just he's one of the most mobile big men that I've seen in a long time. Maybe Big Show is rookie year, maybe. Yeah.
They should bring in, they should form the new Wyatts and bring in the Briscoes as the new Wyatts.
That would be a great idea, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they can't keep that one fellow off Twitter.
Well, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy.
They would be awesome in the tag team division the way it is now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, it'd be awesome. And I can see, I'll give Brian some credit for something he said. He mentioned, too, he was talking about Dean Ambrose being able to be given scripted lines and make it just seem real because of the way he delivers these lines. I could, a lot of people think, well, Jay won't be as awesome because he can't fucking cuss every 3 seconds. I think Jay would have... Maybe not as good as Ambrose, but he would have the ability to turn those scripted lines and make them more real. I think he'd be able to cut really good promos, even if they are scripted. He'd be able to make them better, like Ambrose does. So, I think he could actually get over if they gave him mic time and a chance. And they're just so wacky that they'd get over. I have no doubt about that. It's just, Like Craig said, that thing's going to hurt them for quite a while. I mean, because they were basically signed, pretty much. And then he said that, and then that kind of screwed everything up.
Yep.
I'm loving the new Stooges on Raw. Jamie Noble and Jamie Mercury.
That's tremendous.
Jamie Noble more than Mercury. Mercury didn't do much, but my God, he's awesome.
They have some of the best lines. They had some of the best lines on fucking Raw this past week. Yeah, the cruiserweight division, and then when JBL brought up Kabuki, I marked that week time when JBL brought up Kabuki. That was fucking. And then it got no soul on all this, like on David Bryan's show.
He has Jamie Noble and Mercury. You said, weren't you Rosebuds last week?
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
Kali couldn't hear because he's too short.
Yeah.
It's amazing how people don't notice, but like every week there's always like two or three actually famous Rosebuds that very few, like you said, Scarlett was on there. I know Leva's been a Rosebud. What's her name? The Trish Stratus lookalike, she's been a Rosebud.
Yeah.
there's a lot of people have been Rosebuds, and you know, no one knows about
yeah.
it. It'd be kind of funny if somebody like would actually keep track of what workers have been Rosebuds.
Oh, they had Madman Pondo and his girlfriend a couple weeks ago. We had Rhett Titus on SmackDown about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Was it one of the Rosebuds? We're talking about a minor star studded Rosebud talk. Yes, we've got Rosebud talk, believe it or not.
I never pay that much attention because I'm either fixing me a sandwich or in the toilet or something when the Rosebuds are on.
I love the music, though.
I wonder who the Bunny's going to end up being.
Well, you know, like, you know, Craig had brought up how Tyson had posted that photo, but Brian's like, well, it's not him. That mm-hmm. kick, I haven't seen anyone else do it like that, except for Tyson.
I know.
So maybe
too.
It's not going to be him, but I think
well,
it would have been him that week.
Yeah. I mean, they may not even know, they probably don't even know who's supposed to be here.
Yeah, it could be like a different dude every. It could be just like a different guy every week until they decide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, when he threw that kick, I mean, Tyson's the only person I've ever seen do that kick, and he did it fucking perfectly. So it's like, maybe it's not Tyson, but that right there, that's fucking Tyson. I don't give a fuck.
And I like the segment this week with the Hornswoggle as the Gator. I don't care what anybody says, like that stuff.
That was fucking the Gator Row. Oh my god! Like I say, that was one of the funniest Raws of all time. Fucking when he Gator Rowed him, that was oh my god. That just and then Jesse, and then they're all hanging out with Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when Titus O'Neil went to hang out with Jesse Jackson, but then when the Bunny did it, that just put it over the top. And then today, when I saw a picture of Jesse Jackson and Vince McMahon backstage, that just blew my mind.
Two politicians.
He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, isn't he?
What's that?
Isn't he in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No.
He played for the
no.
Mets or something?
No.
He was in Naked Gun?
No. It's OJ.
Not OJ. Reggie Jackson. He tried to kill the Queen.
Yeah, it's Reggie Jackson, not Jesse Jackson.
They look
completely
alike.
Different
I'm people. Sorry, I always got them confused when I was young.
Easy, family show.
Oh my gosh. At least Reggie Jackson didn't get Bill Watts fired. He left that for for the other guy.
No, it was Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron, yeah.
Okay, next story. Speaking of WWE.
I think your gun movies were stupid. I can't believe I went to one in the theater.
Jeez. Surely you can't be serious.
I still feel bad about giving money to watch that shit. And then they had to come on the WWF and look for The Undertaker.
I love the Naked Gun movies, and Craig, I'm sure you will agree with me that the greatest theme, and there are a lot of great themes in those movies, is when they introduced Anna Nicole Smith, and they went up her legs, and up to her knee, and then up and up and up to her other knee, and then up to the rest of her. Oh my God, she looks so. That was her peak, dude. That was her peak. Oh my God, she was so awesome.
And then she says, is this some kind of bust? And he goes, yes, it's very, very magnificent, actually.
And then he and Priscilla Presley had sex and condoms, full body condoms. Thought they were debuting a new tag team for TNA or something.
Okay, back to the news. Kurt Angle talks about a return to the WWE. He said he was able to speak his piece with Vince McMahon, admitting to Vince that he had a lot of problems that he caused the company to get rid of him. That was a very well-read sentence right there. He said he spoke his piece to Vince McMahon and said as long as he and Vince McMahon don't have any issues, he's happy with that. Angle's trying to get back to the WWE, and he talked to Triple H. He told Triple H he wanted to come back and end his career there, and told Triple H how much he was making in TNA. And Triple H told him that he should not take that TNA deal.
He should take the TNA deal.
Called up Vince, wanted to come back, and Vince told him that Triple H is now in charge. So, sounds like he is staying with TNA, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think he'd actually have, maybe him having one or two matches in WWE, but he'd actually make a great general manager, because he's doing a good job on TNA. And he's always been a good character no matter what, you know. No matter what role you put him in, so I
don't know what they put him in the ring.
I would love to see him be the general manager.
Could he pass to get physical to be able to wrestle? It's a little bit more legitimate these days, you know,
right,
than maybe in the past. So,
yeah,
they wouldn't even let Lawler wrestle, and I guarantee you, Lawler's probably better help than Kurt Angle is.
Yeah. he just can't wrestle for WWE. He's still wrestling, but he could still be, like I say, he could still, even if he can't pass it, he could still be the general manager. So he could still have a part, and I think he'd have a good part. I kind of hope maybe they can work something out, you know. Who even knows the teammates is going to be around for Kurt Angle to work for, so.
That's true.
Yeah, they won't even have a TV deal after the first of the year, so Lord knows.
And they only got that because, you know, Spike is just being cool. They should already be off the air, shouldn't they?
That's the same thing back on their Nashville network. Remember when they let ECW stay home when they got Raw?
Until
they found some other place, but they never found another place, and they were just off the show altogether.
Yeah, we'll see. They're going to need a TV deal. What about, WGN that they were speaking with? Is that true?
Yeah.
That's one of them.
So.
I think it's WGN, Velocity, and then
I think they're only one for Velocity.
ION, but isn't ION the one that carries ROH?
Sinclair?
Oh, Sinclair. Okay, ION is a different one. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
ION is in a lot of channels, but it's one of those channels that doesn't advertise itself. So even though it would be more like WGN and Velocity, especially GM, do more to advertise their network than ION, but ION would have the most people that could watch it. So who knows? So, I mean, hopefully they'll get one. I mean, I don't want to see no one lose their job. As much fun as we make fun of TNA and Impact and want it to die, so you know, you still want the guys to have a job. So
they could WGN, they could do a crossover with Bozo and do like a live grand prize game in the ring.
Sure.
Do you ever used to watch
that
in the mornings?
Yes, I was about to say that. When I was a kid, I would wake up early because this is the lineup they had, and maybe it was different from y'all for y'all are different places, but it was basically I really try and wake up really early because first it was Star Blazers, and then it was another show kind of like the Bozo show with like a guy and some puppets or whatever. It was okay, and then there was the Bozo show, which was fucking awesome. Bozo and Cookie and what was the other dude? Who was the wizard dude? I'd grab like my army helmet or whatever bucket or some other thing, and I'd fucking play along with the fucking thing trying to make the balls into the thing. Because one day I knew I was going to be there and I was going to get all five of them and win all those goddamn prizes.
Well, it was a couple of years ago, a clip showed up at CM Punk on the grand prize game when he lived in Chicago as a child.
Speaking of CM Punk, have you guys seen the CM Punk bodysuit Halloween costume?
No.
I'm pretty sure it came out last year.
Was somebody wearing that in Brawl the other night? Because somebody looked like
someone said that, but I didn't see the guy. But this one girl on my a friends list, and when I say girl, she is 18, I believe. But anyway, she was wearing the CM Punk bodysuit, and she looked so damn hot in it. It was confusing me.
He got a rise out of you, didn't you? You weren't sure if that was
she looked thing. Fucking hot in it. I couldn't believe it. It just it blew my mind. I was like, What the fuck? Felt like I needed to go to church after hanging out with Craig.
That's not going to help you. Okay, let me see here. Don't have a ton of news this week. Oh, here we go. Here's a little bit of news. Actually, it might even be news to TNA. They actually have a Bound for Glory lineup. This is for the show on the 12th of this month, Bound for Glory live in Tokyo, Japan. Looks like they basically threw this together at the last minute. We have Great Muta and Yoshihiro Tajiri versus James Storm and the Great Sonata as the main event.
Even if they took their champions, which they didn't, that should still be the main event just because it's Tajiri and the Great Muta, and they are the biggest names in Japan. If the show was here, it'd be a different story, but since they're in Japan,
sure.
You know what I mean? So, it's a good main event, even though, you know, they could have so much better as far as, you know, if they would have sent freaking Bobby Lashley and fucking Rude and a bunch of other people. But the main event's actually probably the only decent, really, thing on the show, honestly.
It's true. We have Team 3D will be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. There will be a ceremony, and then they will be taking place in a hardcore match against Tommy Dreamer and Abyss. Please keep in mind that Tommy Dreamer and the Dudleys were friends not more than 3 weeks ago on TNA television.
Nobody cares. That's not that big of a deal. I mean,
okay.
Abyss has already won the tag team title with James Storm, but they haven't shown it yet. And I predict this will be the last Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
I'm sure this will be a crazy, silly, crazy match. But
I'm sure there'll be thumbtacks and barbed wire and
lots of blood,
razor wire and everything.
Sure. Also have X Division Championship. Samoa Joe will be wrestling Low Ki and Kaz Hayashi. Good to see Kaz back in action.
Loki is the champion right now, actually. Hasn't aired yet.
Oh, that's right.
You know what's weird? Didn't he have to lose the title because he was injured? Like a legit injury? And now he's defending it? I don't know. I don't understand this.
And then if they can't take Rude or Bobby Lashley, why are they taking Samoa Joe? It's like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. Everything's just so fucking goofy about this. But
very much so.
You remember when Kaz bought didn't he buy Glacier's outfit and music?
Yeah. He bought it in a fire sale.
Yeah. Kaz was awesome back in the day. I don't know how he is now or what he looks like now. Tajiri, he's not what he was, but he's a lot older. I mean, he hasn't been on TV in a while. So I guess it's understandable he gained a little weight. I don't think he gained as much weight as Shark Boy. But, that could be a good match. I mean, it should be a good match. I mean, I can't see it not being a good match, honestly, unless Kaz is just totally out of shape and can't work anymore.
I think you'll be just fine. We have MVP versus Sakamoto.
That's Tensai Sakamoto. They used to slap around.
Oh, that's right.
It is?
Okay.
Yep.
That's right.
Wow. Huh. Let's you know,
we also have.
Yeah, there's a lot of Japanese guys on the show, way more than TNA guys.
In Japan.
Yeah,
it's true.
In Japan. Sorry.
We also have Manic versus Minoru Tanaka. That should be a fine match.
Yeah, that should be a good one.
And last but certainly not least, we have Havoc versus Velvet Sky. Yikes.
Yeah, that's probably not the right person for Havoc to have a decent. They should have got her against one of the Japanese girls.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But
they, they'd have a much, yeah, much better match. They're doing it for the TNA factor to get, turn on all the hot, the horny little Japanese dudes by having Velvet Sky out there. But there's been like a lot of talk regarding Havoc. Like a lot of people are saying she sucks. A lot of people are upset that people are saying she sucks.
Yeah.
I've been watching the Shine shows and I've seen her on at least one Shimmer show live. And physically, she's probably the most physically impressive after Awesome Kong. You know what I mean? I mean, Awesome Kong's the biggest, baddest bitch in the ocean. But Havoc's like number two. And when I see her in Shine, the last few shows, for the majority of the show, she's been in hardcore matches. She was in a hardcore match with Soraya Knight, and she had a bunch of them. And basically, these matches, they just beat the living shit out of each other. And when she's in a match where she's just beating the shit out of somebody, she can look fucking awesome. If she has to work a regular match, she's not as awesome. You know, she's not as smooth being a technical wrestler. You know what I mean? So, and that's what they've kind of had her been doing more in TNA. They're not playing to her strengths in TNA. And, you know, a lot of those chicks are not going to want to be kicked and punched right in the face like she was doing like Shimmer. So I don't see Velvet fucking taking an ass kicking. So she would be better if they just used her differently. But I guess, you know, it's TNA. It's not the independents. You got to be more technical and stuff like that. You can't be as crazy. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's not working as good as a lot of people think, but she can be better than she's shown. She just, you know, like I say, she's a little handicapped as far as having regular matches.
Yeah, I haven't seen her much. What I have seen, I think it's been fine at best. So
yeah,
I'm sure she'll improve.
I need to, like, try and see if I can, okay, because, you know, like I said, I buy the Shine shows. I got them on demand. So there's a show where they did the Jerry Lawler car angle. And
okay.
They did not execute this as well as Eddie Gilbert and Jerry Lawler did back in the day, because basically they're having this match. It's a anything goes match. And it's Jessica Havoc against Allison Kay. And Allison Kay is a big girl. She's one of those, like, kind of, she's not fat, she's just thick, she's just like a larger size of a really hot chick. And they were having some great matches where they were killing each other. Well, one match they went outside and they're brawling in the back parking lot. And they're, you know, going through the dumpsters and all this stuff. And then a kind of a car kind of pulls up. And basically what was supposed to happen was Allison was going to jump in the car and the car was going to run over Jessica Havoc. But the truck, and they weren't, I guess they weren't going to, they weren't supposed to get that on camera, like the whole thing. You know what I mean? It was supposed to be what, just like that, make it look like she got hit by the car. But the cameraman screwed up, and basically you see Jessica Havoc bump into the side of the car, and then take a bump like she got hit by the car. And it was the fucking funniest fucking thing, dude. It's like, and then they're playing, she got hit by a car. She could be killed. You know what I mean? Get her help. And so on. So it's, she just kind of like threw herself into the side of a non-moving car and just bumped off. Oh, I need to try and videotape that and put it online.
So the last thing we have to talk about tonight, yes, believe it or not, the last thing we're talking about tonight, there is a lineup for the new Sting DVD. So I will quickly read these off, and Katrair and Ed, when you want to discuss something, let me know.
Well, I want to discuss something now. Isn't one of the pictures on there of the fake Sting?
Yeah, somebody fucked up and put on the DVD box. It's a picture of a, I think, I don't know what his name was, like Jeff Farmer, the guy who used to play Cobra, or he was one of Thunder and Lightning or something. He was a face thing in the NWO. They put that on the box. Somebody put that on there. I don't know how stuff Oops. Like that happens. That's what happens when you got non-wrestling people doing that kind
true.
Of stuff. This is why I should be put in charge of stuff like this. It would never happen. Also, when I was looking up the stuff for, I was looking up the solicitor for the DVD, I noticed they had to be released November the 18th, the Randy Macho Man Savage story DVD.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow. So that'll be awesome.
I think it's going to be a full documentary about Randy Savage. Something to look forward to the next couple of months.
Yeah, very that cool. actually sounds, that's one of the bigger ones I've heard him doing in quite a while. That'd be awesome.
Okay, so the DVD runs down like this. And if there's something you want to talk about, speak up.
Okay.
First off, from UWF Pro Wrestling, from April of 1986, we have the Blade Runners versus Brett Wayne Sawyer and Sean O'Reilly.
Who was the second classic?
Sean O'Reilly. Is this like a
Sean joke? O'Reilly, I'm trying. Yeah.
Squash match.
That'll actually be cool. I saw a few of the Blade Runners matches, and they were pretty impressive looking, and they weren't all that great in the ring, but the matches I saw with them were in Mid-South, so they only lasted, they were in the main events, and the main events only lasted like 2 minutes. So I never really got to see if they could really, really work or if they were as bad as everyone said, but they did look pretty cool, and Brett Wayne Sawyer was a little short, pudgy dude, but he was a damn good worker, and I liked watching him when he was in Georgia back in the day. I remember he started off as just Brett Wayne, and then it was revealed that he was Buzz Sawyer's little brother. And I think he worked out in your area a lot, too, back in the day, Craig.
We have Sting and Rick Steiner versus Mike Rotundo and Ron Simmons from NWA Southern Pro Wrestling from May 1987.
Yeah, this one, Crockett, he had bought the Florida territory, and they were, bringing in a bunch of his guys and some stuff to work on those shows. So.
Very cool. We have Sting versus Ric Flair, NWA Pro, January of 1988.
Okay, I got to interrupt here. Does that mean that the fucking brawl, the crowd brawl is not on the DVD? Because of the order they're going in.
The what is not on DVD?
The brawl, the big brawl they had in Mid-South, dude, where he was starting to go babyface.
Oh, you made the Battle,
like,
of New Orleans?
Yeah,
Battle
the
of
New
Orleans?
Orleans one. Battle of New Orleans.
No, it's not on here.
How could they not have that on there? That's like,
I don't know. They probably didn't look for it.
That's like the first awesome thing he was really in. You know what I mean? That's when he first started kind of getting noticed as, having potential. And, wow, that's disappointing that's not in there.
This Ric Flair Sting match, I remember, was on NWA Pro Wrestling and doesn't have a finish. So don't ever get into the match when you watch it because they ain't got no finish. They go off the air.
Let me put that instead of the brawl.
Yeah, Sting versus Stan Lane. From main event, October 2nd, 1988.
Sting wins with a high cross body.
That Stan Lane was a heck of a worker. That should be decent. Sting versus the Natural, Sting versus Butch Reed, main event, March
26th, 1989. Hacksaw Butch Reed. What's a hacksaw? They had hacksaws in Mid-South, thing like.
Yeah, they had Hacksaw Butch Reed, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and they had Hacksaw Higgins?
Higgins.
Was it? Yeah.
Hacksaw Higgins.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of hacksaws back in the day. What the fuck is a hacksaw?
It's a saw to cut metal with. It's the blade is specifically for metal as opposed to a crosscut saw for wood.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
How did Hacksaw cut his 2x4s? He's a hacksaw.
No, he would have probably used a chop saw.
But or maybe it was room. I think that the 2x4s might have had those metal in it. You know, like when he did that thing with Tiger Chung Lee, and he had the bricks with metal inside of them, and he couldn't chop them in half.
I see.
Nobody remembers.
I remember that. I brought it up a couple weeks ago.
Go ahead.
Okay. We have Sting versus Mike Rotundo. This is for the NWA World Television Championship. It's from WCW World Championship Wrestling, April of 89.
This was,
I'm sure that'll
Sting,
be good because Mike Rotundo was really good at that time.
This was Sting's first singles championship. He won the TV title. And this was also the very first match ever aired on TBS from Center Stage.
Huh. Oh, wow.
From when they left the little small studio they used to be in, the other TBS studio.
Yeah,
yeah, this was the very first match they aired on TV. I remember because it aired the day before I went to that Clash of the Champions in New Orleans. It was like a secret card nobody knew about. And the booker got fired because nobody came. They had it in the fucking Superdome, but they didn't publicize it. I wonder that business.
Man, I can't believe I actually got to see a couple shows at the at that place. At the what was it called? The Center Stage.
Yeah, pretty cool building. It was a hole, but it's a pretty cool building.
It was like kind of a bad neighborhood that it was in.
Oh yeah. From August of 89, we have Sting versus Ron Simmons in the WCW Power Hour.
Okay.
Moving right along. World Television Champion Sting versus the Great Muta from WCW Power Hour, September of 89.
They always had good matches.
Yeah, they were like perfect for each other at the time.
Yeah, they were pretty much, Muta was like a Japanese version of Sting.
Yeah.
It's like if you cross Sting with the Great Kabuki, you get the Great Muta.
Yeah. They made a good tag team, too. I thought they were pretty cool as a team. A few times they teamed up.
Didn't they beat the Stangers?
Mm-hmm. They beat them at one of those big, I think it was like the second Japan WCW Super Show.
Yeah, those are the fucking best.
We have Sting versus Ric Flair again, Great American Bash of 1990.
This is where Sting won the World Championship.
There you
go. Okay, they don't have the Classes of Championship match on here?
No. It's on other stuff.
Oh, okay.
On the network.
Yeah, it's on the network.
Just watched it. Have Sting versus Dutch Mantel. September 2nd, 1990.
Deb Coulter.
Main event. Yes, sir.
I guess that's the only reason I put that on here.
Yeah,
that's not a weird choice.
That is a weird choice. I bet you it's good, though. It's Sting versus Nikita Koloff from the Clash of Champions from June 1991.
What Nikita is this? Is this steroid Nikita or non-steroid Nikita?
No, this is not steroid Nikita. This is post-steroid Nikita.
Okay.
I think this is the Sting Dutch Mantel match. I think that's before he went to look for Stan Hansen.
Okay, it was Dutch Mantel. It was Dutch Mantel, Black Bart, and one of the Moondogs, right?
Moondog Rex. He was Dead Eye Dick.
Yeah, that's right.
He went to the old West town, and Dead Eye Dick got caught cheating at cards, so they threw him out of the saloon. God, that was some horrible stuff.
That shit was awesome.
It was awesome, but it was horrible. He even showed up, like, when he went back to Memphis, the first thing he asked Jerry Lawler was, is he seen Stan Hansen?
That's funny.
And I remember they actually had, you remember in the old aftermags and, like, Inside Wrestling where they had the two people yelling at each other over the phone? They had Dutch Mantel and Stan Hansen yelling at each other over the phone.
Oh, man.
the Desperados?
No, that's right, Desperados.
Yeah. Well, they filmed all that, and then they just dropped it. Lord knows why. Every week.
I don't think Stan Hansen came back that many times after that.
Yeah. He saw those skits. He said, "I ain't being part of this shit. I'm in Japan. I'm a, you know, I got a reputation. I don't need this crap."
Right.
We have Sting and the Great Muta versus the Steiner Brothers from the WCW New Japan Super Brawl Super Show 2, January 4th, 1992.
Well, that's a good one.
Great match. Great match. That whole show was really good. That was,
everything they did with Japan.
I think had Dustin teaming up for the first time, or not the first time, but like in one of Dusty's last matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything they did with Japan was awesome.
Yep. That Starrcade was off the charts good that year. It was sweet. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bounty match, Sting versus Big Van Vader, WCW Worldwide. February of 92.
Up there with Cactus Jack and Ric Flair, his best opponent, I think.
Yeah, they were really good. They really had great matches. And then Sting is also part of some of the greatest build-ups, or like the build-ups of some of the Sting's matches are some of the greatest things in the world. Remember when the White Castle of Fear built up with the midget, and then they had that thing with him and Davey in the ocean.
The midget wore a shark fin so he could sneak up to the boat and put a bomb on it.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. That midget needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Redo those things with Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
I was upset that the White Castle Fear match didn't involve hamburgers.
Very tiny hamburgers.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't sue for copyright infringement. And that's what White Castle should have done. They should have turned to sue them for gimmick infringement unless the announcers were eating White Castles like Jerry Lawler and them do when they have like Subways and Carl's Jr. food.
You know, the first time somebody come up with that idea, the White Castle Affair said, you want to name our match headline our next pay-per-view after a bunch of hamburgers, miniature hamburgers, you're fired. That's what I've done.
I don't know. Those hamburgers are really good. I like them.
They are. I like the, oh, those are the ghetto versions. That's for Crystal. Those are the, you know, those are the better versions. With that. It's got the meat and the pickle and the shot of mustard. And I'm fine. I need about 20 of them.
How many White Castles could you eat at one sitting, Craig?
Oh, geez. Like 20?
I could eat White Castles or Crystals like I'm eating shrimp. You know, you just keep on eating.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can be done with them in like 2 bites. So.
Actually, you know what? When I was coming back from Ohio from my little non-wanting-to-go trip, I think we stopped at White Castle, and on the road, I think I polished off like 15 of them. So there you go.
I know I could eat a whole lot of them. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite one is the Crystals, and also always had a huge love for like just I'd go buy like 7 McDonald's cheeseburgers and eat them. I love those cheeseburgers at McDonald's. Delicious.
You know, back when, speaking of like little cheeseburgers, back in the day when I was in high school, we used to go to Sonic. There was a Sonic not too far from our school. And I don't know if all the Sonics around the world had this at the time, but at the time, just a little plain hamburger, you know, just a hamburger, the meat, a little ketchup, a pickle, a little mustard in the bun,
mm-hmm.
was 39 cents. So we would fucking get all of our change together, throw it together, and then we'd go and buy like fucking 15 or 20 fucking 39-cent hamburgers at Sonic, man. It was fucking the greatest thing. And then after I got out of high school, a few years later, I hadn't really gone to one. And I remember I went to a Sonic in, like, another part of town, and I just assumed they still had the 39-cent hamburgers. So I ordered, like, well, yeah, let me get about 8 39-cent hamburgers. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? And then I looked at the menu, and then they were, like, over a dollar. And I was, like, fucking devastated. So that was the greatest deal. All 39 cents, dude, for a hamburger. Granny's right. The old times were better.
Next up, we had Sting, Barry Windham, Ricky Steamboat, and Dustin Rhodes versus the Dangerous Alliance, Rick Rude, Larry Zbysko, Arn Anderson, and Bobby Eaton from World Championship Wrestling, February of 1992.
That was awesome.
I don't remember this match specifically, but you were saying, like, this match or some form of it, like, they were having, like, these tag teams or six-man or eight-man, like, every week with all of you guys. And they had awesome matches.
Yeah. Yeah, this match was awesome. And then they have the story where they didn't know they could trust Nikita.
Yeah, that was when they were going into that one War Games show.
Yeah. And then I just remember the crowd went crazy when Paulie told Medusa to put the phone in the cage, and she scaled in that dress. She scaled the cage with her muscular legs.
Found up after. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that was awesome.
Next up we have Sting versus Diamond Dallas Page, WCW Saturday Night, June of 92.
Was this the good page or the shitty page that was just breaking
in? This was the page that had just started, so this match probably went like 3 minutes. And he did the job to the Scorpion leg lock or something like that. So.
Sting versus Barry Windham, WCW Saturday Night, February 93.
I would think he's like the only guy that's ever gone from being like just a manager to like a world champion wrestler.
DDP? Probably.
That started out as a manager. You never saw that.
Yeah. He was horrible that first year or two.
At 35, him and lost.
Him and the great tag team with Diamond Dallas Page and Vinny Vegas.
And Scott Hall. They were they teamed at first. He was a Diamond Stud.
Yeah, that's right. And then when he had Big Daddy Dink and the Freebirds, too.
It'd be Daddy Dink.
It's Sting versus Stunning Steve Austin, WCW Pro, January of 94.
It's probably a good match. This is when Austin was U.S. champion, so he was very good. Even back then, he was very good.
I'm guessing since they have this after the War Games that there's no Lady Blossom.
No, this is like way after Lady Blossom.
Yeah. We did not get enough Lady Blossom. She was only around for too short of a time.
I saw more of her in World Class, I think, than I did in WCW or USWA or whatever it was at the time.
It's funny because he always kind of went for the same kind of women: tall, long-legged blondes with big boobs.
No, he didn't badly too.
To learn
his life. Every now and then a woman needs a rap in the mouth to get out of line. I'm just kidding.
We have a viewer's choice match from WCW Nitro, November 6, 1995, Sting versus Ric Flair.
Yeah, this was when it's like Ric Flair been begging him for like 2 months to be his partner, and first when he gets the hot tag in the ring, punches him right in the nose and turns like, saying this poor fucker. He couldn't keep no friends.
You know, I think
it may be
the person
he's been turned on more than anybody in history. Has to be.
Yeah. And I think you could put Ric Flair and Sting in the ring right now and they'd still have a good match.
Mm-hmm. You put me in there with Ric Flair right now, we'd have a good match. I know what to do. I know. I could probably work with him. I know all the spots. You know, whip him into the ropes. he'll go up for my press slam. So.
We have Sting versus Arn Anderson. This is from Nitro, July of 96.
This was the day after Hulk Hogan turned, so everybody was in a somber mood.
We then have Sting versus the Macho Man Randy Savage, or excuse me, Sting and Macho Man Randy Savage versus the Nasty Boys, WCW Saturday Night, July of 96.
Well, I'm sorry, could you say they get out in here?
Sting and Randy Savage against the Nasty Boys.
Oh, okay. I've never been the biggest Nasty Boys fan as their matches. I mean, they have some good ones with, like, Cactus Jack and Max Payne, but never the biggest Nasty Boy fan.
I was more of a Brian Knobbs fan on Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah, he was awesome on that. And
he made me laugh when he stuck his head into the Hogan's room at like 3 o'clock in the morning and said, "Hey, Hulk, you want to watch WrestleMania season?"
Yeah.
The best cameo, though, as far as older wrestlers on Hogan Knows Best, was when Mean groped Brooke in the swimming pool and no one said anything to him.
I liked him the best. I loved that Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling show. Did you watch that when it was on?
Was that the midgets or which one?
No, this was the one with like Screech and Danny Bonaducci.
No, I don't remember that.
Greg, you know what I'm talking about?
It's not ringing the bell, Ralph.
And like Screech from Saved by the Bell and Danny Bonaducci and some chick from The Real World or something on there. And they had Beefcake and Brian Knobbs were the trainers.
I kind of remember that now. I kind of remember.
TMT or something like that. Because not as many, they reviewed it. Like they did a weekly review, though. That was an awesome show. I love that.
Wasn't Rodman was on there, too?
I
think.
Can't remember.
I think Rodman was on there.
I'm looking up the roster.
Well, while you do that, I will say this. WCW Starrcade of 1997, Sting versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
I thought this was the best of Sting, not the shittiest of Sting.
It's kind of weird.
This was horrible.
On there. Yeah. Going back to Hulk Hogan sideshows, though, there's nothing on that All-Star thing that could have topped the midgets kicking Roderick Strong's ass.
Here's the contestants from Celebrity Championship Wrestling. Todd Bridges from Different Strokes.
That's right.
Trishelle from The Real World, Las Vegas. Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell. Danny Bonaducci from Partridge Family. Butterbean. Aaron Murphy, who played Tabitha Stevens on Bewitched. Dennis Rodman. Frank Stallone. Tiffany, the 1980s pop singer.
Oh, yeah.
And Nikki Ziering.
I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You just ruined that song. Anyway, Nikki Ziering.
I love that song. When that song was on the radio, I blasted and I sing it out of my mind. It was awesome.
Nikki Ziering was a Playboy model and was on The Price is Right. And she was married to Ian Ziering, who was on 90210 and Sharknado. So.
Right.
My dad watches that stupid shit on Sci-Fi all the time. Those goofball monster movies. Like Two-Headed Shark Attack or
Octopus.
The Flying Shark that ate Cleveland or something like that.
Piranha Shark.
Something like that. I remember on the Two-Headed Shark Attack, they had, like, Brooke Hogan. She was, like, a doctor or something. Just because.
I see.
Anyway.
Okay. Next up, WCW Nitro 1998, Sting and Lex Luger versus Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage.
these matches running together. I don't remember them.
Yeah. Well, then you won't remember this. WCW Nitro, April 6, 1998, Sting versus Kevin Nash.
I do remember it. It was a classic.
Is that right?
I don't want to remember that one.
How about Sting versus Scott Steiner from Thunder of April of 98?
Okay.
Rick was having some great matches, even when he was even as a Signal. He was having some good stuff. That's probably pretty good.
This is when we're at the point now where he should have had like a WWF run so we mix things up because all these matches are running together.
Okay, how about this one? Sting and Kevin Nash versus Harlem Heat, Nitro, June 15th, 98.
You say so.
I don't even
okay, how about
much.
This one? How about Sting and the Warrior versus Bret Hart and Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Nitro, October 12th,
1998? I do remember
that.
Why
do I not remember the Blade Runners reuniting?
Because it wasn't actually like a big tag team match. It was just like a brawl all over the building or something like that.
Oh.
I think Hogan, the Warrior, was chasing Hogan, and he thought he had lost him, but he messed up and went into a bathroom with a mirror, so the Warrior was still there or something.
Ah.
That Warrior stuff was horrible.
It was awesome.
Yes, it was awesome.
Who did he kidnap and turn it? I know it was Bruce Beefcake, but who was Bruce Beefcake when he kidnapped? He was a disciple, and then he became the man with no name, right?
Oh, he's the man with no name, but like back in 1995, right after he was the Booker. And before he was the Zodiac, and before he was the Booty Man.
Uh-huh. So who did he become after this?
I don't know. Maybe a ding-dong.
And then it led to him snorting cocaine at the train station while he was working.
Remember the Warrior? He formed the. He had the NWO, but the Warrior formed the OWN, the One Warrior Nation.
Yeah, and it was him and Bruce.
Yes, and then he did a run in, and then he ran off, never to be seen again for this past year. And he died.
I don't know why that was funny, but it was. Okay, how about Sting versus Bret Hart on Nitro, October 19th,
1998? Nope.
Okay. Let me see how I can do with this one. Sting versus the Macho Man, WCW Nitro, June of 1999.
Nope.
How about Sting versus Booker T from WCW Nitro, July of 2000?
I do remember Booker T got to win in this match because he had just become the champion. Like a couple weeks before. So he got a clean win over Sting.
Was he Booker T or G.I. Bro?
It was Booker T.
Okay.
There you go.
How about G.I. Bro, that was awesome gimmick.
This should have been a classic. Best 2 out of 3 falls, Sting versus Jeff Jarrett on Thunder, September of 2000.
This, when WCW was 2000,
Thunder
I, said,
on this thing.
I don't know what's
yeah.
going on. This is during the Vince Russo era, so.
Well, here's another one for you then. Sting, Booker T, and Goldberg versus Jeff Jarrett and hold your hats, fellas. Chronic.
That sounds like a barn burner right there.
And finally, and by finally I mean the last Nitro, Sting versus Ric Flair, March 26th of 2001.
Yeah, I remember that match. Flair had to wear a t-shirt. He was so out of shape.
I remember he cut one hell of a promo that night, though.
Yeah. They still had a good night. Well, they had the Sting Ric Flair match. We've both seen a million times. So, but
still better than anything else they had at the time.
They should have waited until next year because they could probably get the TNA library and add to this selection here.
Yeah.
They could edit the fucking Bird and Eric Bischoff in the office. That would have been awesome.
And Sting speaks from his deathbed.
You know what, like, so, well, speaking of, like, skits or, like, promos or whatever, what they really need to have on there, which they probably don't, would be that one Saturday night where the Dangerous Alliance was out there kind of cutting a promo, and then Sting and the other good guys all just kind of walked up, and Sting, he either called Rude a faggot or a bitch, and they kind of bleeped it out. But
I think
that,
he called him dick. I think he called him a dick because his name was Rick.
I don't know. To me, it sounded like he called him a, to me, I thought he called him a faggot. And that was intense because that was like, it seemed a little more realer than like all the other angles because the way they just, they did it or whatever. And then Rude got fucking pissed. I remember that. But that was pretty intense. That was a memorable segment just because it was a little different. And the way they did it, that, it seemed a little realer at the time. That was awesome.
So much like WCW, DVD starts out pretty good and then falls off a cliff eventually.
A lot of their, that's the same thing with a lot of their DVDs.
Yeah, you're right.
And then some DVDs, it's, you know, it's all the document, like the World Class one. They didn't have that many great matches on that DVD at all. They could have picked a lot better shit. But, you know, at least the documentary was so off the charts, you know, and made up for it. But, they don't have the best guy picking out the matches as far as some of these DVDs goes.
Oh, you should check out, I watched the Monday Night Wars episode, the episode that had to do with ECW. It's pretty good.
Okay.
You should check that out.
I will check that out, and I'll do you one better. You should check out the Jim Ross podcast with one Magnum TA.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, check that out. It's very good.
I listened to a few, like, a few weeks ago. I caught the one with Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone. It's pretty good. Jim Ross interviewed Sting. That was pretty good.
Yeah. That was good.
Interviewing Triple H was really good, too.
Yes, that was awesome.
I was going to say regarding Magnum TA, I know that it happened before. His accident happened before, but that accident was probably the best thing that ever happened for Sting, in a weird way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Magnum would have been the top guy, you know what I mean, before Sting would have got over. And since he wasn't in the picture, there was a big opening for a new top guy because Nikita wasn't going to be it. And I think that let the Sting, you know.
Well, actually, you know, this was at the time, you know, they had brought Luger in the next year. And when they did, where he turned on the Horseman turned on him. And, you know, he was supposed to be the guy the next year, but Sting, like, really overshadowed him. And kind of why he kind of got the push ahead of him earlier in that year, 1988, that he was more
well,
than
Sting
the
had,
was.
Sting had two things over Luger. Sting was way more charismatic and a better promo. Not that he was a great promo, but he was way better than Luger, and he could wrestle better than Luger, whereas Luger just had the body. But Sting was big enough, you know what I mean? So Sting, it wasn't a surprise to me when that's what happened, you know, because Luger's like, to me, like, Roman Reigns is like the new Lex Luger. You know what I mean? Looks like $1 million. And they want to make him the star, but can he really do it? Like, Luger had a great career, but I think he undershoots, really, as far as many pushes and opportunities as he was given over the years. And had a good career, but just never, you know, to me, he's just, you know, to me, Sting's above him. You know, a lot of those guys are above Luger. And stuff.
I always liked Luger. He's one of my favorites as a youngster.
Yeah. Because you have bad taste.
I had bad taste.
I wish Bruiser Brody would have just shot on him more in that cage match, kicked his ass.
Bruiser Brody was an asshole.
Wow.
He was, it's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as much as a Bruiser Brody fan as I am, he was kind of a dick.
Ask Invader number one.
He did more of a dick. I can't believe that motherfucker is still headlining shows in goddamn Puerto Rico. I don't like Puerto Rico.
Did you remember last year?
I'm sorry, the Danes. I don't like the rest of your people.
For a convention and autograph signing, like to be uproar about it.
Yeah, and they had to cancel them. That was stupid for them to fucking do that. I would have gone over there and spit in his face. I'd
like Tony Atlas. Tony Atlas would go back and testify. He didn't get his subpoena until after the trial was over.
He wouldn't go to the police station until the Samoans said they'd go with him, keep him from getting killed.
There's some fishy shit the Cowboys at that time.
Yeah.
Made me never want to go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So I guess we're pretty much done with news then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, we are.
Throw out the plugs and go home.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I got me some DVDs in the mail today. I'm eager to check out.
What'd you get?
I got me the entire year of Primetime Wrestling from 1987.
That'd be great just for the fucking stuff of Gorilla and Bobby.
I've been fast-forwarding through the matches. I just collected little bits in between where they're jibber-jabbering each other. You know?
I actually like the matches because at the time they had some of my favorite jobbers. You know, you had SD Jones, you had Sweet Hansen, you had Jose Luis Rivera, you know. Just a lot of awesome jobbers. It was great.
Yeah, I was watching one episode and he said that the girl said, did you get, you remember Bobby's secretary, Miss Betty, that he always talked about on the show?
Yeah.
He said, did you give Miss Betty a bonus this year in the paycheck? He said, when I give her a bonus, it ain't in the paycheck.
So. Well, anyway, everyone's got it.
And then Miss Betty called and talked to Gorilla, and Gorilla said, no, I'm a married man, and I don't do that kind of stuff.
They were so awesome. But anyway, everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at my last name, Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, and then the word jam. So Proper Jam on Twitter, and follow me there.
YouTube.com/Cotrera. I got a channel up there. I don't upload nothing. I just link to other people's stuff because I have neither the time nor inclination to upload videos on fucking YouTube. So
there you go.
Go check that out.
Cotrera35
on Twitter. Don't expect any tweets from me. I don't tweet. I don't know why I have it. Don't know why I'm plugging it, but I'm on there.
I got an idea what we should do for a future show here. Kind of, we need Craig's help though, probably to do it. You should book Brian. You should book the little midget to come on our show, right? Because he's doing all these interviews, wrote the book. And we get him on the show and we don't fucking bring up the book at all.
I was actually going to suggest that we should probably try to get him on. We probably would have to change the day or something to when he could fit it in. But
mm-hmm.
You should try to get him on, talk about the book. I'm gonna download it on my Kindle here pretty soon.
I'll bring it up to him on Friday.
On Friday or Tuesday?
I'm sorry, Tuesday. What day is it?
Tuesday. You do the Tuesday show.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
You can, and make sure you guilt him because he only gave you the soft cover, not the hard cover.
Yeah. Kind of butthurt about that, to be honest with you.
I got the
bigger. You're getting one. I don't think I'm getting one for all the hard work I did for the website.
I already bought one. Shouldn't I get the next one free since it's the revised edition? I still have my receipt.
Right.
Well, and then I got the first one for free, and then he gave me the new one, so.
He wants people to send him their books so he can sign them and then send them back If that happens at the end of the year, he's going to have like 500 books in his garage that he's going to procrastinate and never send. And then finally he's going to send poor granny with 500 books to mail.
It looks like that box of porn that they got for Christmas that one year. If it's
it was like seven boxes. Speaking of, okay.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was like seven boxes. But speaking of the guy who sent the porn, well, the guy who sent all this porn is now starting his own podcast, and the name of it is Treat Her Right. What has happened to you, Mexican Seafood? I don't even know you anymore.
What's the name of it?
Treat Her Right.
Treat Her Right. Okay.
He had his first episode with his co-host, the fucking mouth breather, who was breathing all over his headset and didn't even brush his teeth live on the air, fucking idiot peach machine. And he also wrote a book, and I can't think of the name or else I would plug his book, but he did write a book that I think is on, I think you can get it on the Kindle. I should have looked it up before the show. But yeah, Mexican Seafood apparently has now become an author, and...
like Dudley Moore?
Kinda. And then now has the worst named podcast since Milk of Magnetism, or whatever the hell Bluefist's show was called.
Milk of Magnetism.
But anyway,
like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Milk of Minutia. That's a bad name. No wonder they don't do shows no more. Anyway, Craig, any last things you want to talk about?
Everybody, go enjoy your weekend. I'm going to go to work tomorrow.
Everybody, have fun tonight. Everybody, Wang Chung tonight.
There you go.
And with that, we will end the show here. Should have had the damn music radio.
So be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Found out how good you are. You're looking at the
Mexican shit. Let's go hook him up. Oh, here's a head. Terry Funk is going crazy. Funk has gone crazy. Watch the open eyes.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.